positive enlightenment. All you need in one place, here at HRNradio.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pep Talk, your get-up-and-go fix of the day. Sharky Zartman here, and today we have two amazing women, Marcia Allen, also known as the Sugar Witch, and Linda Scheel, an expert on how to age in reverse. I met this woman in New York, and trust me, she is doing just that. She's in her 70s and doesn't look a day over 50. But first up, we are going to talk to the Sugar Witch, Marcia Allen, the author of Spoiled Rotten on a Diet. And today she will share how to eat a healthy diet free of sugar, dairy, and gluten that actually tastes great. She designed this program for her husband to help him manage his diabetes, and it was so successful for him that she is determined to share it with others. Welcome, Marcia.
Hi, Sharky.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you because, you know, eating, obviously we all do it. Most of us don't do it right. But I have, before we talk about your program, how come you're known as the Sugar Witch?
Well, it was just a name that we came up with. My husband, mostly my daughter's idea, I guess, because she said, Mom, you're not a witch, but you are magic when it comes to helping people manage their A1C. So I said, well, that'll work.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the Sugar Witch. Well, I've got to say, this time of year is very hard for people to cut out sugar, since it's everywhere. Cookies, cakes, pies, you name it. So how can a person actually resist the temptation of all these sweet, yummy foods?
The thing is, Sharky, there's a lot of substitutes out there now for sugar that are really good. The one I use is xylitol, and it tastes exactly like sugar. And you use it exactly the same as sugar. So when you bake or put it in a drink or wherever you want to put it, it's like putting sugar in your coffee. And it's an alcohol sugar, so it doesn't get digested. It just goes through you, and you don't even know, your body doesn't know it was there. So it doesn't put a diabetic sugar readings up, or there's no calories in it, so it doesn't put the fat on places you don't want it.
Wow.
And there's all kinds of candies and stuff out now. I don't know if you have Bulk Nation out on the Pacific Coast, but here in Florida they have what they call Bulk Nation, which is a bulk food place, and it has all kinds of chocolate and every candy you can think of, and they're sweetened with maltitol, which is alcohol sugar, and they taste just like normal candy.
Wow.
So all you have to, and lots of grocery stores now have, if you look on their shelves, their candy shelves, they do have it. You just have to stop and read the label. And it's amazing how much is out there today compared to what used to be out there.
Right. So xylitol, would you get
xylitol.
This?
Xylitol. Try to stay away from things like aspartame, Splenda, and some of those things, because aspartame is very harmful. Splenda is a derivative of chlorine, which we really don't want to be eating, and some of those other ones. And the stevia is a natural one. It's very good. It doesn't raise your sugar or anything, but it has a terrible aftertaste.
Yeah, I know.
And xylitol does not have that aftertaste.
So would you find this where you find sugar or sweeteners? Is that where you find it?
Quite often you can find it in your grocery store, yep. If not, go to your health food store. They always have it.
Okay.
Or a Bulk Nation has it, too.
All right. Well, that's great, because most of the sweeteners, as we know, are very harmful, and it's...
And taste terrible.
And they taste terrible, you're right.
Right.
Okay, so now we know that diabetes is on the rise, and one in four people, as you mentioned, you know, in your materials, in the U.S. has type 2 or prediabetes, and that number is expected to rise to one in three by 2020. So why are we seeing such a huge increase in prevalence of type 2 diabetes?
Because we're eating so much processed food, and we're not getting any exercise. We're sitting home watching TV, playing video games, playing on our phones, and not getting up and doing some exercise. It's energy in and energy out. We're not putting any out, but we're putting a lot in. And processed foods are full of sugars and all kinds of horrible ingredients that do damage to the cells in our body. And basically, we're a junk food society. We're trading convenience for health. is what we're doing.
Right, right. Now,
so,
I know
I've got that, to learn to cook more at home.
Right.
Read labels and get out and get some exercise.
Right. And, you know,
if they want to turn this thing around.
When I was growing up, type 2
and
diabetes was
the cause of death in the U.S. now.
Was actually a disease of, you know, it was adult onset diabetes, but we're seeing this now in children, correct?
Yes. Well, take for instance, children eat on Christmas Day an average of 6,000 calories in candy. That's four times the recommended limit for a child. So, and we start them out with Halloween.
Right.
Lots of it there, then Thanksgiving, then Christmas, then Valentine's Day, then Easter. It's kind of sugar season.
Wow.
And then everybody gets the flu because sugar depresses your immune system, and we get bugs.
Right, right. Well,
I call it sugar season, not flu season.
Yeah, sugar season. Okay. Well, that's right. You're the sugar rich, right?
That's right.
Okay, so this book that you wrote, Spoiled
right.
Rotten on a Diet, why did you write it? I know that you initially did it for your husband, but how did you come up with such a unique title?
Well, I had him on the diet for 3 weeks. When he first went on the diet, he said he had to take out these things. He said, I'm going to starve to death. And I said, I promise you won't starve. So I started making all these foods, and at the end of 3 weeks, I said, well, now how do you feel? Do you want to keep going, or what do you want to do? He said, oh, no, I want to keep going. He said, I feel spoiled, rotten on a diet.
Ah.
So that's how the title for the book came. And then after we had done this for about a year, he said, you should write a cookbook.
Okay.
And the chiropractor pharmacist that started all this, we started all this with, said the same thing. I can tell my patients to take out sugar, dairy, and gluten, but I can't tell them what to eat. And this book would be amazing help to my patients. So I wrote a book.
Awesome. Now, who is the actual audience for this book? Is this actually people that have diabetes or are pre-diabetic?
The audience is, for me, primarily diabetics, but it will help anyone who wants to lose weight, has inflammation, which everybody has autoimmune disorders. It's good for everyone.
Okay.
But I wrote it for diabetics.
Right.
Wheat is very inflammatory, and dairy is very inflammatory. The protein in our dairy is way too big for us to digest. Milk was made for baby cows to become big cows, and we don't want to become big cows.
Right.
So and also the cows are fed corn when they should be fed grass, so there's all kinds of inflammation caused by that. And so we should avoid dairy. And wheat is really genetically modified wheat today has 50% more gluten in it than it did years ago. And gluten is very inflammatory, and wheat also raises your sugars. Your two slices of whole wheat bread will raise your insulin level as much as a Snickers bar.
Ooh.
So when you think you're eating something good, like two whole wheat bread, you're really not.
Oh. Well, is there a way to... So this is just processed bread, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. So you still eat bread, right?
We eat gluten-free bread.
Okay. Okay.
And we eat... And dairy does not include goat milk. Goat's milk protein is small enough for humans to digest, and it's not inflammatory. So we use goat cheese and some of those things instead of dairy.
Okay. All right. You know, when I check out gluten-free products at the grocery store, because I do read labels, there's no gluten in it, but it's like twice the sugar.
Yeah. It's gluten-free junk food.
Exactly. Exactly.
Gluten-free, and I know all kinds of gluten-free groups that say, oh, yes, go gluten-free, you can buy this, you can buy that, but it's just gluten-free junk food.
Gosh, you know, that's horrible.
Buy gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free food, process is just about impossible.
Right, right.
So it has to be homemade.
Okay, has to be homemade. Well, that's the problem, is a lot of people don't have time. Because they're always on the go, and, you know, they're busy with their jobs and their families and their kids. So how do they find time to make food?
Well, in my book, there isn't one recipe in there that takes over 20 minutes.
Okay. All right.
You know, you're going, I can make a meal from my book faster than you can go to McDonald's.
Okay. All right.
And it's going to be something fit to eat.
Okay. All right.
Like, my dog wouldn't eat a Big Mac burger. She just will not eat it. She just turns up her nose, and I think you could starve her, and she still wouldn't eat it.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding.
Oh.
She just looks at a Big Mac and says, no thanks.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. Well, because, yeah, dogs are smarter than we are. Okay, so you know, with so many diet books out there, I've had a lot of people on the show that have written diets, you know, different eating programs for not only diabetics, but to lose weight and all these other things. So, you know, there's a lot of competition out there, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So what actually makes your book different from the others?
One of the reasons, I think, is because the recipes are very simple, and the ordinary foods that people eat every day, and there's like things like pizza in there, and deep fried fish, and chocolate cake, and cookies, and things that people still want to enjoy, but are simple to make, and no exotic ingredients.
Okay.
So, and everything in there in the way of desserts is made in a food processor in just a couple of minutes.
Okay, so share with us your favorite recipe.
My husband's favorite recipe is probably the deep-fried fish and the chocolate cake.
Deep-fried fish and chocolate cake?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm writing a new book now, and it's going to be nothing but desserts.
Ah. Oh, that's good.
People are just bugging the living daylights out of me to get it done, but that takes a long time because every recipe I put in my book, I fine-tune until it's perfect.
Okay. All right.
And now, my husband has a crew, and I use them as my guinea pigs, and believe me, they are blatantly honest when it's not good.
He's your guinea pig. I love that.
Yeah. But when it's good, they really like it. So that's what I do. I make for them, and they love that. But when it's not good, they don't have any problem telling me.
Right.
And then I will just tune and adjust until I get it right.
Well, good. That's good.
You know, so I hate cookbooks. I go in and I get a recipe and I cook it exactly as it says, and it comes out like crap. And I think, what are they doing? And that really bugs me when I've spent money for a book.
I know. It looked nice in the picture, but it tastes like crap.
Exactly. So I was very adamant that mine were going to work and they were going to taste good.
Well, good for you.
Well, we did them over and over and over until we got them right.
Okay, well,
when the new book comes out, it'll be exactly the same.
I have to ask you this question. I'm sure you guys do a lot of get-togethers over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's a lot of food out there that probably is food that, you know, has all these things in it that you don't want to eat. Do you ever eat it, or do you just bring your own food?
For instance, like I live in the wintertime, I'm in Florida, and we live in a seniors park. And we just had our big Christmas dinner at the seniors park.
Okay.
So we will go, yes, but we will be very picky about what we eat.
Okay.
We may only eat the turkey.
Okay.
And the vegetables, that's probably all we'll eat. We won't eat the desserts.
Okay.
And we'll bring our own cranberries, that kind of thing. And when the people here all know that we're on this program, and so when we go somewhere, we will take stuff, or we will eat before we go.
Right, right.
That's the simplest way. If you're going out to a buffet or something, a party, just eat before you go. And then you can kind of pick and choose and not go hungry at the buffet. And if you pick the proteins and the vegetables and nuts and that kind of thing, stay away from the sweet and sour meatballs and all that good stuff.
Okay.
And the dessert table.
Okay. All right. Well, what is your favorite, what's your favorite meal? Okay, because I know what your husband's is, but what's your favorite?
My favorite is probably stir fry.
Oh, okay.
Stir fry with vegetables and chicken and that kind of thing. That's probably my favorite, and I could eat that over and over and over and make it with different meats and different flavors. So, and he really likes that, too, so we eat a lot of stir fries.
Okay.
I just put baby back ribs in the oven earlier, so we'll have baby back ribs for supper with vegetables.
Okay.
And
all right.
So, you know, there's just some, we have a normal turkey Christmas dinner here with the dressing made a little differently. We'll have the vegetables. We'll have desserts that are all made sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. And we have company, and nobody knows the difference.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you, now when you go to these events where there's food there, do you bring food to share with other people? And if you do, how do they like it compared to the food that's there?
Yeah. And they don't. I don't bother telling people. They just don't know the difference.
Oh, they just don't know the difference.
Nope.
Ah. Well, you should tell them.
Yeah, I should. But then they'll say, ew, I don't think I want to try that.
Oh, yeah. If they hear it's too healthy, they go, oh, I don't eat that. Yeah. Okay.
But my doctor at home now is on my plan. He's got the book, and he's working it. And I have a pharmacist at home that's doing it. So, you know, it's starting to be more accepted, which is really good.
Okay.
And the reason my doctor did it, he said, well, you know, I've seen what you've done with David, and he said, there's just no way to argue with that. He said, I see his numbers.
Right.
And
good.
He's not diabetic, but he said he'd like to lose some weight, so he's doing it.
Right. So the results that you've seen from your husband and the people, tell us a little bit about some of the results you've seen.
Okay, for instance, my daughter, I've been hounding her for a while, but anyway, she spent 3 weeks with me here last spring, and we did eat out, and, you know, we had a great time, but she lost 17 pounds in 3 weeks.
Wow!
And she said, Mom, I just feel so much better, and so she has not gone back to the old way of eating. She said, I'm never eating like that again, and we have pictures of her, and her face is, like, bloated up in the first picture, and in the other picture, it's right slim. And I have another lady at home that's a diabetic, and she's lost a lot of weight, and another lady that's lost a lot of weight and getting her sugars under control, and one of them's off her medication. And, you know, they feel good. It's like they said, it's just so nice to feel good when you get up in the morning.
Right. And well, good. That's awesome.
It is awesome. I just love it when they get these results and I see their faces all lit up. It's just amazing.
And the food is tasty. That's even better.
Yeah. There's no suffering on my plan.
No suffering. I love the no suffering. And so, you know, we also see a lot of low-fat products. And I tell my health students, I go, low-fat means that they're probably full of chemicals. Would you agree?
And they're full of sugar. When they take out the fat, they substitute sugar to get the flavor.
Right. And so.
We do never have used low-fat products in our house because they are double the sugar.
Right. Boy, I'll tell you. You know, all this food that's out there that is promoted as being healthy really isn't, right?
Like granola bars?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah. They are really, really full of sugar and other crap.
Wow. That's incredible. And then, of course,
I actually have a plan for people that I put them on for 60 days. And what I do is I give them a lot of knowledge, how to read labels and all that kind of thing. And then I give them meal plans and recipes for 60 days. So they don't have to think about what they're going to eat. I have a fridge list, a pantry list, and so they have everything there. And they just make up the menu, make up the daily meal plans for 60 days. And by that time, they're pretty much on their own, or they can further it if they want to. But most people will, by 60 days, they think, hey, I got this covered.
Okay. So where can they get the plan? And we're just
the
about out of time.
On my website.
Oh, okay. Tell us your website, and we can also get
www.yoursugarwitch.ca.
Okay. Again?
www.yoursugarwitch.ca.
Okay. And
the book's available there, or it's available on Amazon.
And also the 60-day program, right?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Marcia. Very
Thank
eye-opening.
You.
So, love the Sugar Witch.
I love it, too. It's fun. It's just fun, right?
Okay, it really is. And best of luck to you and your husband, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and Shark to Heart right after this.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
We are back with more Pep Talk. And next up is Linda Scheel, entrepreneur, teacher, motivator, and inspirational speaker. In her new business, Aging in Reverse, she offers both workshops and speaking engagements that are educational and inspirational. She's also a yoga expert and recently released her DVD, Chair Yoga, with Linda Scheel, and a CD, Yoga Nidra, with Linda Scheel. She's also passionate about teaching people to breathe correctly in order to live longer and be healthy. So welcome, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sharky, for having me on. I appreciate it.
I'm excited to have you on. You're a busy lady. And I said in the intro with your aging program that you have, what you're doing must be working, because I never would have thought you're in your 70s. You look like you're barely 50.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
It's very true. And so, first of all, I know that you have a backstory that inspired you to do the work that you do today. Can you share it with us?
Yes, I'd be glad to. I lost two children to addictions about 14 and 16 years ago. And as you can imagine, things like that have a way of changing your thinking in your life. And it put me in a direction of actually wanting to be more caring, more compassionate, giving. And I ended up doing yoga. At 68, I started. And at 73, I started teaching. So that's kind of a leap there, but that's kind of where I am today because of that.
Oh, wow. So yoga really helped you to pull your life back together, it sounds like.
Oh, yes.
Wow, that's amazing. It's amazing. I've heard of so many transformations, and it's really nice for you to share that with us. But I want to talk to you first about, we'll talk about yoga in the second segment, but I want to talk to you first about your program, Aging in Reverse. Now, can a person really age in reverse?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I just am intrigued by that.
That we can do today to help our aging. Of course, you have your chronological age, which is, you know, how many years you've been on this planet. And then you have your biological age, which is exactly what are all your biomarkers, you know, like your heart rate and your cholesterol level and your aerobic capacity. And that's really your true age. And when I did the test, I came up 22 years younger than my actual age.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you can achieve these things. I think, you know, there has to be a basis. To me, the basis is yoga, because that's what I teach.
Mm-hmm.
So I am working with an awful lot of senior citizens and teaching them how to age, but breathing is paramount. The amount of times you breathe in a minute determines how long you're going to live and how healthy you're going to be. And that's an actual study that came into play, oh my goodness, years ago. It's called the Framingham Studies, and they took 30,000 people and 5,000 people and tested them for 30 years, and that is what they determined. So at the beginning of every session, this is all for definitely seniors and younger people. The amount of times that you breathe is really important. You need to breathe through your nose, and if you can breathe out your nose, that's fine, but that's not as important as breathing in. Breathing is paramount. And then, according to science, exercise is number one. You have to move. And I work with so many people. I did a class this morning and worked with a woman who was 91.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, wow, she said, I have been in physical therapy, and in 1 week, you changed me in this class. So the aging thing is enough sleep. At least 7 or 8 hours, if, you know, good sleep, so that your body has a chance to restore. That's really, really paramount. Meditation is very, very important. The breathing, if you breathe 10 times the yoga breathing in a minute,
you can reduce your stress by 40%. Stress is, it's a killer. I mean, 85% of all the illnesses start with stress. So that alone, if you can reduce that, really helps. But there's many other things. Do you have a good social background, a support system out there? You know? And there was a book written called Counterclockwise by a Harvard professor. You may have heard of it. And in there, she did a study of older men and two groups. And what she found in less than a week, them being in a different environment and going back 20 years, absolutely changed their mind. You are what you think. And your mind is so powerful. So one of the things is, how old do you feel? And that may really be the key to your longevity and how you're going to live your life.
Okay, awesome, awesome. And so, yeah, I do a lot of the same things with some of my students. Now, I mostly teach at the college, but I also teach seniors. I teach a senior yoga class, and, you know, I do see a lot of changes. But I wanted to ask you about the true age. I have an assessment that I used in my health classes. It's called Real Age, and that's Dr. Rosen and Dr. Oz. And it's so funny because these people that are taking this test are in their late teens and early 20s. And I've had some, and they look for the same thing, chronological, biological, psychological aging. And I've had some of my students that are 19, 20, 21 come back in their late 30s, early 40s. And I had a mother-daughter team that was in my class, and they both took the assessment, and the mother came back younger than the daughter on her real age.
But that's what happens. That truly, truly is possible to, you know, do some exercises, move. There are so many people today, and I'm sure you run across them all the time, that are older and have so many issues, and they're on so much medication.
Right.
And then I've worked with people with rheumatoid arthritis and cancer, and I worked in an addiction center for 2 years. So I'm used to working with people that have health issues, and you can change that. And I'm not saying you can't, you're not going to cure everything that's out there. But I think that if you're given the exercise and good sleep and nutrition is so, so important. Because they're finding now with the autoimmune diseases, they finally said cancer is an autoimmune disease now.
Oh, wow.
There's 85 million people in the United States with autoimmune disease, and so much of it goes back to nutrition.
Right.
So it's really, really important that you eat clean as much as you can. You know, I think that's really a big key.
Okay.
I know, I have arthritis, and I take tart cherry juice. To me, that's the best thing you can take. There are other, inflammation things that you can do, but that's really key to me.
Okay, awesome. We're going to take a short break, Linda, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the styles of yoga that you teach. I know we're both teaching yoga, and our styles are very different, and I think they're both very productive. And so let's talk some yoga when we get back, okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and I'm here with Linda Scheel, and she has been talking about her work. She works with people, helping them age in reverse, and she has speaking engagements, workshops, but she's also a yoga expert, and she has a new DVD out and a new CD, and as most of you know, I also teach yoga at the college and senior yoga, and so I really love talking to yoga teachers, and we have different styles, but, you know, basically, it's yoga. So welcome back, Linda.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and most of my students that I see most of the time are very young at the college, and they are, and at the end of the semester, I always, because it's supposedly a fitness class, and it's power vinyasa, that's the style that I teach, and but So we're looking at physical changes because it's in the fitness area of our curriculum. But I got to tell you, the number one thing that the students notice at the end of the semester is their stress scores go down, their stress symptomology.
Absolutely.
And I just think that's tremendous because, you know, college students are so stressed out, and I'm just amazed at the changes that I see with that. Now, do you see that also in your students?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that starts with breath because, you know, you can reduce your stress by breathing. You know, you go from your sympathetic nervous system, we're all there today at some point, fight or flight, and then you go to your parasympathetic nervous system, which of course is your, you know, low anxiety and calmness. And I think your body needs to be there. You can't stay in that fight or flight because that just wrecks havoc with your body. So in order to do this, I do about a 5, depending upon the class. I taught a senior class this morning and did maybe 7 or 8 minutes of meditation. And I also give them some essential oils to breathe, usually lavender or peppermint, depending upon their mood.
Mm-hmm.
And this absolutely takes them from doing their postures. You know, you breathe and then you have postures and then you go into meditation. Your body has to be in balance. And too many types of modalities, whether it's in a gym or you're a runner, after they're through, they don't let their body balance. And this is so, so important.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this with my cancer patients, helping them, you know, work with their fatigue and so many things. Cancer is so paramount right now everywhere. But yoga has been proven to be one of the top things that people that have cancer. Also taught in addiction centers, and that was amazing. And they would all tell me, this is the best part of being in this facility, is coming to yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very powerful.
Yeah, I agree on all levels, on all levels.
Right.
So now your style is restorative. And so please explain that to our audience.
I'm certified actually in 4 yogas. I'm certified in restorative chair yoga.
Okay.
Samporna yoga, which is a hatha yoga.
Okay.
And also in cancer yoga.
Okay. And so if a person wanted to, as I said, I teach power vinyasa, which is
right.
Basically an athletic style. I mean, it's very, very
vinyasa.
Kind of aggressive. And so, with your style, you have, you know, 4 different types that you teach. Which one do you think is the most powerful?
Well, I think on every level they're all powerful, but you know, if you know as well as I do, if the student engages in it, whether it's a young person or an old person, this is when it becomes powerful. I find that even with the cancer, I don't work as many cancer as I do seniors. I think it's very powerful for seniors, absolutely. And there is a lot of chair yoga in that, but I also teach seniors floor yoga. I mean, I do a hatha type yoga. It's called Samporna. And I've got them doing pigeon and all these other things.
Right.
And they can do it.
Yeah.
I think what they're surprised at is once they get into it, I'm hearing, oh my God, I play tennis better and I got a better golf swing and I really feel good.
Right.
So I would say that both types of yoga, the floor and the chair, are both very powerful.
Right, right. It's so funny, when I started teaching senior yoga at the center, you know, since I teach the advanced class at the college, people are going, "You teach seniors?" But I went in and I did a toned down version of the vinyasa, and
exactly.
And they're amazing. I have some people in there that are in their 90s, and they're as good as my teenagers in the college class. It's amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And so
I think it's great, and it's so rewarding and inspiring to me to do that for somebody and make them feel better. It really is. I just started at this one country club in and it's a chair yoga. And so many people have commented and said, oh, my God, you're so good. I feel so good.
Right.
And, you know, I think as a teacher, we have to remember who we're teaching and what they need, you know, more so than just standing up there and doing a class.
Mm-hmm.
I think you really need to connect with them on some level.
Right, right. So I see you, a picture of you standing on your head.
Yes,
do you teach your senior students how to do that?
Yeah, I'm 76. I can still stand on my head. You know, I couldn't even do that when I was a kid. I couldn't.
Good for you.
I started standing on my head when I was 72.
Good for you.
And I know.
Yeah.
That was pretty amazing.
So do you teach your seniors how to do it?
Pardon?
Do you teach your seniors how to do it?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I would think that'd be a little dangerous.
No, I don't, I don't even attempt that, but I did teach one child, and I'm not sure on our time here. I say child, he was 18, and he was in the addiction center, and he weighed 280 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And he was 6'5". And I don't know what I was thinking, and I said, do you want to learn how to stand on your head? Because he was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, dear God, if he fell down, he'd probably kill me. He landed on me. But he didn't, and he put that on the Internet, and I'm sure it went viral.
Oh, my
gosh. This kid was so excited that I got him to stand on his head.
Oh.
But I don't very often ever do that to
anybody. Yeah, yeah.
It's not really good.
I know. Well, you have great form in that picture, I mean, so, yeah, I saw that one. Good for you. And so I also see that you used to have an organic wine business. And so do you still do this?
I did for 5 years. I became a sommelier. I've owned 4 businesses. So the organic wine was recent, before I started the yoga, before I started teaching.
Okay.
And I loved it. I learned all about wine. And organic wine, for anybody that wants to know, is so much more healthy.
Right.
With all the pesticides and herbicides. There's 26 kinds of fungicides and all that stuff you put in grapes. And a third of everything you drink, I hate to tell everybody this, you know, is all full of pesticides and herbicides, 30% in the wine.
Oh.
So I used to get migraines. I don't get any headaches. People have said, oh, my God, my stomach, I don't have any problem drinking. You know, maybe that's not a good thing. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you know what? We are just about out of time. So I want to make sure we get to your website and where we can get your DVD and CD.
Absolutely. My website is, I have 2, and you can get the DVD on the website on either one, My Restorative Yoga. So it's www.myrestorativeyoga.com. Or www.agingInReverse.net. And my CD, you can get on Amazon or on iTunes or Spotify. So I'm working on getting my DVD on there, too, but right now it's on my website. So thank you for asking about that.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you for sending it to me. So, yeah, I'm excited to take a look at it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I love talking about aging and yoga, and keep doing your good work.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me, Sharky. Oh, I really appreciate it.
Sure, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you, and have a great one.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Shark to Heart right after this.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret, now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and it's time for Shark to Heart. And all I want for Christmas is a new right knee, and I'm getting that this Christmas. In fact, I'm going in and having the surgery early next week. And I'm so excited to finally do this, because I've been putting it off. But I'm finding out that recovering from this kind of surgery is serious business. You can't just go in for the surgery and come out with a new knee. In fact, the recovery is starting to sound like a full-time job. And everyone that I've talked to that's had a knee replacement says that they are so glad that they had it. In my case, I'm limping. Everyday activities are getting hard. It's been hard to teach, going up the stairs, even walking.
And the impingements, I don't know if you know what impingement is, but all of a sudden it's when your leg locks and it's like knives are going into your knee and you can't unlock it. And so anyway, my doctor at my pre-op meetings, he showed me an x-ray of my knee. He goes, this is a very good picture of a very bad knee. And so I am overdue. Now I have to admit, and I didn't tell him this, but I am not an ideal patient. I've already had three surgeries on this knee, meniscectomies, which were just arthroscopic, and pretty much just went back to my activities. I did some therapy, but not much. I guess that's why I needed three surgeries, because I never let my poor knee heal from any of them. Well, now I know I can't get away with that, and I have to be committed to the therapy. For one thing, I'm going to be in the hospital for 3 days. I've never been in the hospital for 3 days in my life. So even when I had my babies. And so I said, why do I have to be in the hospital? And I go, my husband's going to be home. And he goes, is your husband a nurse? And I went, no. And then when I do come home, I will have a machine that moves my legs at certain intervals, and I must use this machine 3 times a day for 2 hours at a time. And when I'm not on the machine or walking, I have to be icing. So I have to be vigilant also about taking medications, something I am not accustomed to. I don't take any medicines. My doctor said, you're going to have to do what I tell you to. And I have to do this for 3 weeks until I see my doctor again. And so I better be good, because he's the one that clears me to drive. I've never not driven for 3 weeks. So anyway, so wish me luck. Thanks, Jay. Also, this time of year is such a special time to put aside our differences and enjoy our family and friends. And I know that we can get caught up in preparations and gifts. Be on the road these days is scary. Everybody's driving like a maniac, at least in LA. But the most important things to be given really is your time and love. Especially if you know anyone who's by themselves this time of year, make sure you call them or go and visit them. That's more important than just giving them a gift or a gift card. Also, make sure you're safe on the road. There will be a lot of partying, which means a lot of people will be driving under influence. So be aware and don't be one of them. If you are at a party or restaurant and have too much to drink, don't drive home, even if you think you're okay. Alcohol is a way of putting to sleep your judgment center and awakening your primitive brain. And so when you say, oh, I can drive, that's your primitive brain talking. It's like a lizard is talking to you. And so, nowadays, the Uber app or Lyft, just put it on your phone and just call. I mean, you don't even have to have any money. Everything's done ahead of time. It's charged to your card. These people are screened. Most of the time they have, you know, decent cars. And so be smart, not sorry. And I really do wish you the best as we close off this year, and hope that you and your family have a blessed Christmas and a wonderful New Year. And, you know, wow, is it just me, or did 2018 go by really fast? It's been an amazing year, both in terms of challenges and opportunities, and but I'm happy to see a new year come. I'm ready for 2019. I am so excited. Having a new knee is actually going to be really life-changing for me, okay? I mean, it's so funny, because when I play with my grandkids, my little grandson now, he makes up these games when we play. I take him to these fields, and he makes up these football games. And so we have this little football, and he goes, let's play hike, you know. And so he'll bend over, and he'll start counting numbers, and then he'll give me the ball, and then he'll run, and I have to throw the ball at him. And then he does the same thing for me, and he goes, Zima, why are you running so funny? And I go,
you know, my knee is a little hurt, you know, but don't worry, I'm getting a new knee and I'll be able to do this, okay? He also likes to play basketball, and when I try to pivot with him, I mean, he can dribble with both hands now. He's five. And, you know, so I remember my granddad used to do that with me, and he was in his 70s, and here I am in my 60s, and I've got this bum knee, and I want to play basketball with my grandson while he wants to play with me. So anyway, I'm so excited for the new year and getting through this therapy. I am motivated. Also, with me being out, I will be back in the studio January 24th with some new great guests. Until then, we are going to air some great shows from the past, and Jay is helping me pick them out. So this will be fun. If you've missed some of these shows, you know, we've had some great guests, especially over, I can't believe I've been here over 7.5 years. I mean, we have hundreds of shows to choose from. Also, you can check out my archive page on HealthyLife.net. If you missed any of our shows from the last 3 months, they're stored there for immediate listening and downloads. And I think one of my favorite shows that I've done recently is the one with Vince Papale and Dennis Franks. I mean, they're two former NFL football captains, and they talked about their new book, The Last Laugh, and they talked about their football days and how they went from underdogs to having success and how they went from, you know, playing football to try to be in a civilian life. And they were just so animated and so much fun. And so I think that was my favorite show of the year. And so if you missed it, go to the archive page. All you need to do is click on it and it'll start playing. So we'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
Podcast to help you reach your positive potential. HRNradio.com.
Hey, thanks for joining me today on Pep Talk. And to my wonderful guests, Marcia Allen and Linda Scheel. Until next time, I'm Sharky Zartman. Here's to you and our shark. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.